1 Kings chapter 20, we'll read verses 35 through 38. And I might just give you a heads up, you who have joined us this evening on this Friday, if you'd like to read ahead for Sunday morning's lesson, I actually encourage you to do so, barring some kind of change in plans that the Lord puts on my heart in the next, 24 hours or so. My intent is to bring a lesson out of 1 Kings 20 on Sunday morning. Rather unrelated to this one, but still with the same context. So I would encourage you, if you would like to get a little bit of background, I encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 20 so that you can have some understanding of the history in that context when you come to service on Sunday morning. That being said, we're just going to read 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 35 through 38 for this evening's short study. And there it says, "Now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbor by the word of the Lord, 'Strike me, please.'" Interesting request, right? "And the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, 'Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you.' And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. And he found another man and said, 'Strike me, please.' So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes." Now we're going to stop there, but I'll just let you know how it turns out. He would go on, the prophet would, from that point to declare God's judgment to that king Ahab, that wicked man. He would use that disguise to present himself to the king. We might discuss that a little bit further on Sunday, but he spoke God's judgment to that one. And we'll pause there, and we will bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless our considerations tonight. Heavenly Father, we're grateful always, Lord, for the provision of your word and the provision of your fellowship. I trust, Father, even in these less than ideal circumstances that we're in. And Father, I thank you for the ministry of the word that you minister to each heart, Lord, by your Spirit. And I pray, Father, that you would make us useful vessels, willing and receptive vessels, Father, to receive that perfect word that you have for us, so that we might do a perfect work, Lord, even in our frailties and our imperfections. Open this word to us tonight, Lord, and help us to learn just a bit more, Father, this evening about how we might serve you and be perfect for you. We give you the glory this evening, and we praise you, Father. Bless us in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in all honesty, saints, if you are like me, I'm not saying that you are, but you might be, if you find a narrative such as this to be just a little bit uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, but it's simple. Uncomfortable in this, you know, we're called as believers, as children of God, to behave a certain way, to carry ourselves a certain way, to reflect the Lord Jesus in a very real way. I'll turn you to Galatians chapter 5 for just a moment so that you might just get an idea of some of the things that we're supposed to reflect. We had a great study. When I say great, I mean a large study. I'll let you determine how great it was, but it was a pretty vast, just a ongoing study regarding the fruit of the Spirit, all of those facets of that fruit that are produced by the Spirit in us as he's allowed to grow and nurture us in the way that we're supposed to. And the fruit of the Spirit just give us an understanding, kind of a broad overview of what we're supposed to present ourselves as in being children of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, Paul tells us. If you look in the next chapter, in the 9th and 10th verse of Galatians 6, it goes on to kind of make it even broader. He says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." And that is pretty vague, but we understand to a real extent and a real measure what doing good is, what being good is. My parents used to tell me, specifically my mom, I remember when I was 3 or 4 years old, she'd say, "Greggy, behave." And I'm like, "What is have? I don't know what being have," you know, you understood the concept, but it wasn't till I was an older child that I realized that it was a word, behave, not be have. I understood what it meant, though. It meant that if I got out of line, Mom was going to let me have it. Being good, the Lord doesn't necessarily let us have it, as it were, but there are repercussions for not doing the good that the Lord has for us to do. He goes on and says, therefore, as we have opportunity in verse 10, let us do good to all, but especially, particularly to those who are of the household of faith. So given these truths, you know, these facets of the fruit of the Spirit, and given the overall understanding of being good and doing good, particularly to those ones who share our faith, who share fellowship, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the Lord, given these truths, how can we be okay with what happened in our text? A man approaching another one and telling him, asking him to punch him, to hit him, to strike him. Now, it says a neighbor in the King James or the New King James. He asked his neighbor, and neighbor means particularly a friend or a close associate, just some measure of closeness there, a companion. I would presume, certainly it was someone who was familiar with the prophet here, if not another one of the sons of the prophets, of whom he was a member, you could say. And that, after he refused to strike him, that man met a rather violent death, you know, at the hands or the paws, I guess you could say, of the lion. You know, what is this teaching us? It's teaching us a lot, actually. It teaches us a lot, even if it's a bit uncomfortable to think of this one. You know, I tell my kids, keep your hands off of each other. I don't make it a habit myself to go around punching people, no matter how angry I might get, no matter how frustrated I might be at them. And it doesn't reflect well upon the child of God who cannot keep his anger, who cannot contain his wrath, who does make a habit of going around and dropping his knuckle sandwich on someone's nose. It doesn't wash well. It doesn't reflect Christ in us. So it does make you uncomfortable at first blush, perhaps, to consider that this one asked this other one to hit him. He wouldn't do it, and he died as a result. A little bit uncomfortable, but it is simple in this. When the man refused to strike the prophet, when the prophet asked him to, that man in his refusal was not demonstrating love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. Now, how do we know that he wasn't demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit? How do we know this? Well, after the man refused to hit the prophet, it goes on in verse 36 of our text. The prophet said to him, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. That says it right there. This was the word of God. Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you. And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. Well, the greatest proof of the validity of a prophecy is that prophecy's fulfillment. And so he said, this is going to happen because of this. And the Lord made it so. He did not obey the voice of the Lord, and he met with the Lord's, well, a real judgment there as a result. Defying and disobeying the commandment of God never reflects the fruit of the Spirit in the one who defies and disobeys the word of God. You can't be loving to the Lord. You can't have his joy. You can't have his peace. You don't demonstrate his endurance, his patience. You don't demonstrate kindness when he tells you to do something and you refuse to do it. He didn't reflect the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord chastises those ones. Sometimes not as dramatically as he did with this one. Sometimes not as violently. But regardless, when anyone chooses to disobey the word of God for that one, well, the repercussions are real and they are definite. They're going to happen, even if we don't see them on this side of death. Now, what was the background between these two men, between the prophet and this one who refused to punch him? What was going on between these two guys? Well, we aren't given much of a history. What we read is what we have. So we don't really know exactly who the man was. But the fact is we don't have to know everything. We don't have to know all of the context to recognize that God is right. Firstly, we know God. He's not unjust. He's just the opposite. He's not unholy. He's just the opposite. Romans 3 says that he is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We also know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing changed. He didn't become just and one who was willing to justify those ones who have faith just now. He's always been one who wanted to demonstrate his righteousness to his people. Always has been one who wanted to show mercy to his people who would receive mercy. That's who he is. We know who the Lord is. He is just, he is holy, he is righteous, he is good, he's kind, he's mercy. He demonstrates all of those things that we see in the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can know just in knowing who the Lord is. We can be confident, we can be sure in knowing who he is and what his makeup is, that he didn't mistreat this man when he sentenced him to death for this disobedience here. We don't know what his history is, what his history was, what had led up to this point, if anything. But the Lord did. The Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew his history. And he determined that this was the just course of action to take with this man. And that was that. When he disobeyed, that was that. Secondly, however, we see that there was another response that he could have had. In verse 37 of our text passage there. In verse 37 it says that the prophet went on, he found another man and said, strike me, please. I like how polite he is. Hey, man, give it to me. What is it about silly little kids always asking adults if they can punch them in the stomach? I remember my kids asking me that. My nephews have asked me that. Hey, can I punch you in the stomach? I think I punched Uncle Rob in the stomach a bunch of times. What's that all about? They never asked us to punch them. So this is an odd request. Strike me, please. Well, this guy said, okay. You know, I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if it was with a stick. I don't know if he, you know, drew back. I don't know what it looked like. But he inflicted a wound on him. We don't see much more of a backstory here. Only the important facts. God spoke his word to this second man through this prophet. And this second man obeyed. He wounded the prophet. And in obeying the Lord, he was given the opportunity to reflect an obedient spirit that the first guy did not. And we don't see that this one met a violent end at the hand of a lion. We don't see another mention of him. And you know what? That's okay. You know, I'm not mentioned in Scripture. That doesn't mean that I can't be victorious, right? I'm grateful. I don't mind not having fame and everyone knowing my name. I'm thrilled just in being obedient to him and him knowing who I am. And so this man here, perhaps he was another one of the neighbors of the man, but he heard the request. He complied. He did so effectively, wounding the prophet. And then we don't hear of him anymore, and that's okay. Now, the first one that the prophet approached and said, strike me, please. He said, no. Not going to do it. He refused. You know, what was it that caused him not to do it? That the second one felt fine in doing it. You know, did he find that it was inappropriate? Perhaps. Did he find that it was an awkward situation? You know, someone asking you, hey, come, you know, I'm confident that no one here, if someone just said, hey, punch me in the face. Well, at least you would stop and take some thought, right? I doubt that I know anyone here in our meeting that would just draw back and just throw a right cross right across someone's jaw. This guy might have found it upsetting, might have found it distasteful. I don't know. Perhaps he didn't know what the prophet intended in it, right? Maybe he didn't know what God was going to use the prophet to speak to Ahab there shortly thereafter. Maybe he didn't have any understanding of that. He didn't know what was going on. Whatever the reason it was, he found it uncomfortable and he refused. But do not forget, he refused to obey the word of the Lord. That's the most important thing. Now, how he was to know that it was the word of God, be it simply because it was the prophet, be it because the prophet walked up to him and told him so, be it because the Lord was speaking it to his heart and in his mind. Saints, when the Lord wants you to know that he is speaking to you, he will let you know. And even if we refuse that and say, I don't know. When he has given you enough to know that he's speaking to you, he's given you enough to know. What does that look like always? There is no answer to that. It can look different from one occurrence to another, one person to another. I've heard different ones have said that they've heard the audible voice of the Lord. I've heard the Lord speak to my heart so clearly, he might as well have whispered in my ear. He spoke into Elijah, still small voice. He thundered on the mountain to Israel. He speaks in a lot of different ways. But when he makes himself known sufficiently, it is ours to recognize we've heard sufficiently and do what he tells us to do. And that's what the point is here. He was in an uncomfortable position. Okay? Understand, his wasn't the only uncomfortable position. This poor guy who's been told to punch the guy in the face, who else had an uncomfortable position? How about the prophet? The prophet who the Lord plainly told, you're going to go up to him and you're going to ask this man to punch you, to hit you, to strike you. That's an uncomfortable position too, is it not? Strike me, please. You're going to say it politely, for goodness sake. Those might have been some difficult words for the prophet to say, right? Pain. Pain's going to be present. It opened a wound on him, it says. Pain's going to be present for sure. But there's also a certain measure of awkwardness and uncomfortableness of making someone else uncomfortable sometimes, right? Now, I know some people that completely thrive and enjoy being in a situation where they can make someone else feel entirely awkward. It's not noble. It's just my personality. I don't like it. Uncomfortable silences? I have to make an effort not to say something stupid in order to break those uncomfortable silences. I don't like putting someone in an awkward situation. I'm not a big fan of conflict. I'm not. However, when the Lord says, you get in this awkward situation, you make this situation awkward, and you do what I tell you, regardless of the discomfort you might feel, the fact remains, the prophet's direction was from God. It was by the word of the Lord, it says. He said to his neighbor, by the word of the Lord, strike me, please. It came from the highest power, the highest authority, and he was not in a position where it would have served him well to deny that power. Saints, being uncomfortable serving the Lord is not an uncommon position. There are times when you, as a child of God, are going to be called to render the faithful wounds of a friend, as Proverbs 27 says. You could go so far as to say you might be called to strike somebody. Perhaps in correction. Perhaps in simple preparation for that person. We don't know all the context always, or for some other purpose. But it must be by God's direction, yes? Katie's asking prayer that she might have the wherewithal to witness to someone, to have the words to say, and that sort of thing. You know, there might be some awkwardness there. There might be a need. The Spirit might put upon her heart that she needs to say something that might not be received very well. Have you been in that situation? I have. I was cooking a meal at a firehouse one time, and a guy comes up to me, and he starts talking to me. He says, I hear you're a man of faith. I say, well, I believe in the Lord, and yep, my faith is important to me, and I love Jesus, and I laid it out there. I was, that was the best policy for me, certainly late in my career. And so he approached me, and he said, now listen, I have a cousin, and man, she is a religious zealot. She is way over the top, and she believes that if you don't believe like she does, that you're going to hell. I'm like, well, what does she believe? She believes that the only way to go to heaven is to believe in Jesus. And I said, well, I guess I'm a zealot then. And our conversation was not a pleasant one after that. It got really awkward at that time. And you have the opportunity sometimes, well, to not strike somebody. And sometimes you have the opportunity to not be struck. And in that moment, I feel like it went both ways. I feel like I was inviting myself to be smitten. At the same time, I was rendering a blow of my own. And you know what I mean when I say that. When you're in the situation, saints, whatever position you're in, either one can be quite uncomfortable, can't they? It can be quite awkward. especially when we don't know. Now, that one was pretty obvious. I was supposed to witness to my own coworker, and I was supposed to lay it out there and tell him exactly what I believed and let him know that he had the opportunity to do the same. Sometimes it's not so clear-cut. Sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes we don't know what the Lord has planned. Very much like that first prophet might not have had any clue. Why in the world is he asking me to punch him? I feel this conviction on my heart, and I feel this tug, and I feel this stirring and all of these things that he should have been familiar with, should have been aware of, and should have recognized it was from the Lord. The response of the Lord says as much. And that's why we need to be familiar with the still small voice, the big loud shout, the stirring of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, the direction of the Spirit. We need to be familiar with that, and we need to listen, and we need to heed, even if we don't know what his plans are. You smite that one, is what the Lord was telling him in his heart. And he didn't do it. He refused. When it comes to obeying God, it simply does not matter what we do or do not feel comfortable with. And that might sound kind of preachy, and that might sound kind of preacher-y, and that might sound kind of awkward in itself. It doesn't matter, child of God. If the Lord tells us to do something, it is our privilege and it is our benefit to do it. Paul and other ones have put themselves into positions, or had themselves put into position, to strike and be struck at the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul got to the point where he said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And it's not only that. You might not be given to have a public ministry. You might be given to speak to your coworkers. You might be given to witness and minister to your spouse. You might be just given to have a testimony to those ones in your house or anywhere else that you're made to contact with people, whatever the situation is. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel, Paul said. You're an epistle, just as surely as he was. You're an epistle to be read by others. If we don't obey God's word, no matter what his direction is, woe is us. There will be repercussions. There will be loss there. And so whether woe came in the form of chastisement or simply because he thought he might be grieving the Lord, Paul didn't consider ignoring God's direction as an option. Woe is me if I don't do this. Saints, I'll just get right down to the point, or at least close it out. Is that we must be willing to obey if we're going to be a friend to anybody. In John 14, verse 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Keeping his commandments is paramount to have love demonstrated. Love demonstrated for that one that we're given to strike or be struck by, but also to be a friend of the Lord. If we're going to be a friend to him, then we need to be as Abraham was and believe him, trust him. Abraham believed the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. It's not difficult to be a friend to God, honestly. It's simply obeying, regardless of the awkwardness. The payoff and the building of your relationship with the best friend that we might have in the Lord Jesus and his Father, the payoff there is, well, it's well worth any of the awkwardness that we might experience with someone else. I mean, I hate to say it this way, and my wife will know what I'm saying when I say this. She knows what she means to me. My relationship with the Lord means more. Okay? I know what I mean to her. Her relationship with the Lord means more. And if her relationship with him is right, then our relationship will be right. She'll be willing to strike me whenever I need her to. And she'll be willing to be struck. Now, this is not some domestic violence situation, all right? This is spiritually speaking. She will render to me that painful awkwardness that might be required as the Lord gives her direction, and vice versa. And in obeying him and my seeing to my relationship and my friendship with my Heavenly Father, our relationship, at least my portion of it, will be godly. It will be anointed. It will be right. It will be just, and it will be loving. and it will reflect all of the facets of the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5. This man who refused was not being a friend to the prophet, and he was not being a friend to the Lord in the moment. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It might feel awkward and it might feel uncomfortable, but if we want to be a friend to anybody, including to the Lord, we have to be loving and willing to do all of those things that the Lord tells us to show friendship, to show godly care, even if it's painful at times. To hear his word, to heed his word, and to obey his word is to be a friend to those ones and to be a friend to God. Now listen, saints, I'll just close by saying you don't have to relish the opportunity to strike somebody. You don't have to take great joy in bloodying someone's nose spiritually. And unfortunately, there are altogether too many of God's people who do take pleasure in that. They open their mouth too loudly, speak too longly, and, well, they end up coming off self-righteously. But as the Lord dictates to us that there's something to be said, something to be done, or something to be reflected, something to be shown, it might be painful to another one. But if we love that one, then that's the time of adversity that we need to minister in. It has to be carried out in love. It must be carried out at the leading of the Lord. But if he calls for us to strike or to be struck, may we be willing to be a good friend to that one and to the Lord, and to do as the Lord tells us to do. And that's all that I have for you this evening.